Nashville, Tennessee is so much more than just the epicenter of the country music scene. The town, passionately dubbed Music City, is a mecca of sorts for every musical idiom imaginable. And it's an extremely hip and happening destination where more than 700 people arrive every week to take up residence in Music City. The culinary scene is cutting edge as well, with James Beard award-winning chefs in addition to the legendary fried chicken and barbecue joints. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join Heather Middleton, Vice President of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation. We'll then catch up with Buddy Kite at the world-class Frist Center for the Visual Arts, housed in a majestic repurposed Art Deco Federal Post Office. And then we'll stop in at the Arts Company for a visit with the city's Arts District trailblazer pioneer, Ann Brown. Unbroken, unshackled, and free. Heather Middleton with the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation.
If you had a friend coming to visit, they had never been to Nashville before, what would be your must-do? Oh my gosh, stops.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
I only have a weekend.
I only have a weekend. Well, you know, the great thing about Nashville is obviously music. So you have to fit in music, whether it's a trip to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum or, you know, the Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum or the Johnny Cash Museum. There's plenty of music history here for music buffs. And it's not all country music. I think sometimes that surprises people. There's all kinds of music here. You will find songwriters writing gospel, rock, pop, country, every genre. And, you know, you find that in the venues and the clubs as well, which is great. So if you're a music lover, this is the destination.
I think that's really so true, and something that I came in thinking country and came away going, wow.
That happens to a lot of people. They don't realize, and that there's a history here. Because country music is here, there's this great foundation for all this other music to thrive. You know, we have the studios, we have the musicians, we have the songwriters, we have the producers, the engineers, all of that exists. So they can produce and play on any genre of music or write any genre of music. So I think that has added to the fabric of the city for visitors as well.
Some of the icons that aren't country, Elvis Presley would be one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Going way back, Elvis Presley, you know, the Everly Brothers, and to up to today where you have people like Jack White and Sheryl Crow and the Black Keys, Justin Timberlake, who are living here and making music.
We had Dixie Chicks roll into town yesterday.
That's right. They were here. They were here. An awesome, awesome concert. So, yeah, I always like to say Nashvillians just love good music. It doesn't matter the genre.
And I know for a fact, been here 24 hours, and I can testify that Nashville people love to eat, too.
We do love to eat. Everything from, you know, you can come and get everything from traditional Southern fried chicken to, you know, a more upscale. We have a lot of really amazing chef-driven restaurants who are winning James Beard Awards and cooking at the James Beard House. So there's a great food scene. I always like to say Nashville thrives on creativity, and creative people are really accepted here and honored, and chefs are a part of that. There's no doubt that, like musicians, we love our chefs and appreciate what they do.
You have the Parthenon here?
We do. We have the only full-scale replica in the world of the Parthenon. Back in the 1800s, Nashville's nickname, instead of Music City, it was the Athens of the South because of the commitment to education and the arts. And so for the state's centennial, they built a Parthenon as part of the celebration.
A full size.
And it was never meant to be permanent, but Nashvillians loved it so much that they created a permanent structure eventually in the 1930s. So
that's really cool. And I think it's really tucked away. I mean, you would think it would be spotlight, front row center, but it's sitting in the middle of a park.
It definitely is. The first time I visited Nashville many years ago, I remember driving down West End Avenue, and my husband and I looking out the window, not realizing there was a Parthenon here, and we did a double take and thought, why is that in the middle of Nashville? But now I know, and it's a gem, that's for sure.
But isn't that really a classic metaphor for Nashville? Because on first look, you not expect to find what you find here. And it just, yeah. It's like an onion and the layer after layer.
Totally agree. People come in knowing country music, and if that's all they want, they can certainly get that. But they can also find the arts and food and fashion. We have a great growing fashion scene and makers and on and on. So it definitely goes beyond music.
Okay, so we've taken your friends from out of town. We've got them pigged out on food.
That's right.
And we've taken to the music, and we've taken them to see Athena and the Parthenon. So now what else do we do with your friends before they go?
I would say history. There's a lot of great history here as well. Andrew Jackson's home, Belmead Plantation, Belmont Mansion has a great story to tell as well. A lot of Civil War history in Nashville and south of Nashville.
Battle, major battle here in 64, 1864.
Yeah, 1864. Battle of Franklin was a major battle just south of town, and there's a lot of great Civil War history there as well. So any history buffs can come and learn a lot too.
I could come here just for drive around the neighborhoods and look at some of the classic architecture of the homes. You are so beautiful.
Beautiful. We have some really great neighborhoods that don't feel like you're in Nashville, but you're basically a couple miles from downtown with big, old, beautiful houses that people have fixed up. And, you know, most of those neighborhoods have shops and restaurants, and so they're a great place to spend an afternoon or a morning and doing some shopping and grabbing lunch and fun for visitors.
And the other cool thing, it's a real young, hip, growing town. Somebody said the other day, 100 new young kids are moving in every day. It's crazy.
It has definitely become a town for younger people, for sure, in the last decade. I think a lot of that has to do with the appreciation of the creative class that's here. You know, a lot of young people feel like they can come and start a company or come and be a musician or start a restaurant. Then that's harder to do in places that are more expensive and not as easy to get around. And it's a very collaborative community. People support one another. There's no, our restaurants are, and I think a lot of it stems from the songwriting community. They're happy when their friend does well, even if they're in the same business. That's okay, you know. And it's a very supportive community, which is really nice.
For further information,
go to visitmusiccity.com. You can find all you want to know about Nashville there.
Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Nashville, Tennessee. Slip your feet into the
water. Lay your head right next to my... Hey, Tom. My name is Buddy Kite. I'm the Media and Public Relations Director here at the Frist Center for the Visual Arts in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, I am so glad that I came here. What a surprise. Even from an architectural standpoint, never would have expected to find what I found walking in the front doors here. What a specimen of architecture.
Well, we love hearing that kind of surprise when people walk into our building. We are in Nashville's former main post office, which is just a jewel of a building, and we're very fortunate to have our art center here. It's on the National Register of Historic Places, and they did a fantastic job of renovating it. The building was completed in 1934, and it really is a stunning example of Art Deco ornamentation inside, and on the outside, it's actually referred to as strip classicism as the architectural style. So it's a very bold, federal-looking.
And you know the Art Deco was all designed and laid out in the late 20s before things crashed, because it has those references to that booming, roaring 20s.
The Jazz Age, exactly. Yeah. And we just had a wonderful party it's a fundraiser for the maintenance of the building, and it's our Art Deco affair. So we definitely do try to accentuate and celebrate all the Art Deco motifs and design in here. So we had our own black and white ball. Yeah. So we just made it into an annual affair. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, what kind of art here we have. And when we do have an automotive show here now. And a couple years back, we did an Art Deco auto show called Sensuous Steel, which was all about the cars of the 30s and 40s, which was just really, really a huge success and wonderful.
Well, it's a shame that this exhibit that's here now is not permanent, because I would tell people to come way out of their way to come see some of the cars that are here right now, which will be gone before too long.
Yeah, we feel really fortunate. Our guest curator, Ken Gross, has assembled just an all-star lineup of Italian design sports cars, and they're not all sports cars. I mean, sports cars is a very specific term, but it really is. It's become a little epicenter of car design in the country, and we've had folks visit us from all around the world. Several highly esteemed, renowned auto designers, so people in the car world, have actually come here from Italy just to see this show. So it's,
these are some of the rarest cars in the world.
That's correct. We have the Alfa Romeo Bat. They're one of ones. We have a number of cars that are one of ones, concept cars, and we have
the jet car. That's cool.
The Chrysler Ghia Gilda, super. Everybody. First thing they say when they see it is Jetsons. They think it's straight out of the space age. We have the Lancia Stratos, which is one of the most radically designed, geometrically interesting automobiles you ever see, 33 inches off the ground at the highest part. And it's really, you know, and it's not just radical cars. I mean, there's a definite narrative arc to the show, and a lot of these designers and engineers came out of the war effort in World War II in Italy. So they went from aircraft design straight into auto design. So that's the aesthetic thread through the show. That's just really fascinating.
Going forward in the bigger picture, here as an art destination, what would be metaphorically an example, a typical shows that you might do?
Well, we don't have a typical show, and
atypical.
That's why I love working here, and why I think people love coming here and supporting us, is because we really pride ourselves in bringing the art of the world to Nashville, and we don't have any real limitations of genre or period. You know, last summer we had a fashion design show. In the fall, we're going to have a samurai show. You know, of course, we do painting shows frequently and photography shows. But we really look at design and art of the everyday, and it is our mission to, or rather our vision is to help people see the world around them in new ways. So you come in here and you look at the cars, or you see a dress in our fashion show, and you go back out into the world and you look at everything, you know, everyday stuff with a new appreciation or a new analytical insight.
And where do you get your money? How do you do your funding? That seems to be a real key.
Yeah. Yeah, like all museums, and we do rely heavily on donors and our fundraising efforts. Ticket price is very reasonable, and so it's not like we're making all our money at the door. So we do rely on our sponsors and our donors, and the great generosity of this community that's been so instrumental to making the First Center a success. And they do things, and they give money to make it so that we can let kids under 18 here enter free all the time.
That's so cool. That's so important.
Absolutely.
The last thing that I'd ever want to see is a barrier for kids to feel and experience art.
Right. No, and we're aware of that, and we don't ever want price to be an issue for someone or a barrier for not coming. And we have lots of free days. We have all sorts of affinity days for groups. Like, for example, during this exhibition, we set up things to where car clubs. So, you know, the Mercedes Club or the Ferrari Club can come here, and, you know, we treat them right. We set them up with lunches and parking and discounted prices and all that stuff. So we try to look out for our visitors, for sure.
Well, I can hardly wait to come back to Nashville, and one of the reasons why is to see what your next surprise for your next show is. That's really cool.
Well, you can always, you know, track what we're doing at our website, FriskCenter.org. On social media, we're at Frisk Center, and we have a really exciting lineup for 2017, and we've got all the information for our upcoming shows up on the site. So if you want to find out, if you're planning a trip to Nashville, you should absolutely check us out. And even if, you know, you're not, if visual art isn't your thing, you know, you can come here and have lunch in our cafe. We do music. We are in Music City, so we have music every Thursday and Friday night free in our cafe. And during the summer, we have a concert series during the summer called Frisk Friday. So it's the last Friday of every month, and we've had some superb, you know, talent from locally and nationally come through here.
Buddy Kai, thank you so much, man. What a pleasure. I'm so glad I met you and came here.
It was a pleasure. It was ours. We'd love to show you around, and thank you for your time and making the visit.
You're welcome.
I once made a whole love. Don't mean nothing without your love.
We put art all over the building. We call it storage.
Ann Brown.
Ann Brown.
Yeah,
it's so
the
easy.
Legend.
It's so easy, no one remembers. But I've been here for 20 years, developed a concept called the Arts Company, and I named it that so we could do whatever we needed to do. to get people to get with art and get the artists to care about the people they're doing their work for.
But basically, 20 years ago, you opened one of the first gallery show places for artists in the heart of downtown.
And now there are many, many galleries in different pockets.
But at the time, downtown in the heart,
you were it. It was going away.
But so it was a kind of a gutsy move.
Well, it was in a way, but I had been working with I helped establish the Metro Arts Commission here, the public thing, and did a big festival here for many years downtown. And so I've really worked downtown for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so this is just the second half of it, you know. And so things were beginning to change a lot, but nothing had changed. So they kind of used the art part of what we were trying to do and to engage people. So we meet with people. This is our big meeting spot up here, and sometimes we'll have 25 people up here.
Oh, wow.
We just talk about downtown and what we need to do.
So this is much more than just a gallery and a show place. It's a kind of a brain center.
It's whatever it is. It's just a think tank of sorts, a fun one. Yeah.
So today on your street in the heart of downtown, there are more galleries.
There are bigger galleries. Right.
So you really were the trendsetter in a lot of ways.
Well, in a way, just by being crazy enough to do it, And it worked. It happened to work, you know. But, of course, I knew a lot of people in the city, and so they kind of supported it. And we've added to it, and other people, and the collaborative process has made a lot of difference.
And it's interesting, too, because Nashville, when you say the name, outside of town, what do you think of?
Oh.
Music.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we keep saying that we do this first Saturday art crawl every month, but we're going to do a first arts weekend. And what we're really promoting is the concept that downtown Nashville is an art district. It's got honky-tonks. It's got everything. It's got the Opry. It's got the Ryman. It's got museums. About to have a new Tennessee State Museum, a new African-American music museum within two blocks of where we are.
The art you have on display here, a lot of it are regional and local artists, or at least the subject matter. I mean, behind you, there's little great views of downtown.
Yeah.
That's great.
We ask people to do that sometimes because we do a lot of buildings and help people. Like, we're doing a big hotel that's here, and many hotels now, but we're outfitting a hotel, a new one. So we try to find, we work with people all over the state and also with other people, other states. Yeah, we're not exclusive to
but
we love it because it engages people. They come to Nashville to learn Nashville, you know, or this area. So that's what we try to do.
Well, let's talk for a moment about the neighbors and the competition, because you have other art galleries now as neighbors.
Yeah, well, it helps. I mean, it's bigger. Yeah. The deal's bigger. I mean, and we're all friends. We all work together. That's the whole thing. And so we send people down the street. If we don't have what they're looking for, we know probably where they can find it. You know.
So what are some of the other galleries? Do they specialize in more of a niche specialty?
Yeah, they do. They do. They're more traditional gallery, not traditional in their contemporary, but they are more like a gallery to showcase certain artists, and some of them international and that sort of thing. But that's not what we do.
Typically have one person they show.
Right. And you have paintings on the wall of that person, but we have lots of things on the wall. So we almost get you no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's the theory.
Yeah, well, it works. You got me. I could spend all afternoon.
Well, it is kind of fun. And when we let people loose up here, we have a storage space you haven't even seen, and they go crazy over that. So
very cool. Ann Brown, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. So glad to have you here.
And for further information, a website and name of your gallery.
It's just The Arts Company, all spelled out, one word. .com. That's it.
Too easy.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
The Underbid music was performed by Nashville-based musician and songwriter Gabe Dixon. To learn more about Gabe and his music, log on to gabedixon.com. To learn more about Nashville, Tennessee, log on to visitmusiccity.com.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR. We could go down in history. We could go if you love me. There's just a whisper left, and I offer up my last breath. I know I will, like I know I do. If I love you, will you love me too? If I love you, will you love me too? If I show my soul, would you share yours with me? Let the we could go down in history. We could go if you love me.
If I love you, will you love me too? If I love you.